This morning, we're going to be in the book of James. And you know, eventually we're going to get through the book of James. I love expository preaching. I love going through it verse by verse because you really get an understanding of what's going on. Amen. And to break down the passages for clarity and for understanding. And I was talking with someone and they said their pastor does expository preaching. And I was like, oh, that is awesome. And they said, yeah, in the last 2 years, they've been through 1 and 2 Samuel, the book of Matthew, the book of Ruth, the book of like five books, big books. And I went, that was topical. You can't go through that many books in 2 years. Amen. And break it down verse by verse, for clarity. And for me, I'm like, hey, it took 8 months to get through the book of Jude. And for those of you who know, it's only one chapter, but you know what? We made it through the book of Jude. As we go through this, guys, we have to understand, and I need you to understand this one thing. I'm sharing the word of God. That's all I'm doing. This is for you and me both. I typically have to go through it as I study it out, and I have to apply it to my life and look at myself and repent and do all the things that I need to do as I'm studying it out. When I share the word of God, for some of you, and today, look, today, some of you, it's going to poke. It will, because we're talking about the judgment of God. Matter of fact, that's the title that I titled it, The Judgment of God. And it's in bold. Look how big it is. Like, bang, there it is, right? And people get upset because they go, God doesn't judge. But he does judge. And he will judge us. And as we walk through this, we're going to see what that looks like and how God judges. Now, I'm staying focused in the book of James. So this is how God's going to judge the Christian. And you're like, wait a minute. God doesn't judge the Christians. The Christians are not condemned. And you're right. We're not condemned, but we're still judged. And not judged for salvation, but we're judged for our works and our words and our attitudes. Amen. Now you know the 3 points to my poem. All right. So the judgment of God, that's what we're talking about today. And because so a lot of people think that you're saved, so you have this license to sin. And that's not it either. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless this one more time. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray your hand upon this sermon, upon my thoughts and my words, and Father, upon all of our attitudes, and that we bring you glory through that. Father, we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in James 2, 13, or I'm sorry, James 2, 10. All right. We'll see how this is going to work. So I use the computer because I can make the font real big because my eyes are getting real small. And sometimes it doesn't always work. That's why I don't like these things. At any rate, James 2, 10 through 13. And it says this. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Now hold it there just 1 second. The idea of this passage is we are judged because we are sinners. And it doesn't matter if you break one law, the insignificant law, or if you murder someone. And you're like, what? Because whenever I talk to people and I'm asking them, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? And they'll say, yeah, I'm a good person. Really? So what makes you good? And every time, almost without fail, the response I get is, well, I've never killed anyone. Well, I am glad that we set the bar at murder. I'm just saying, like here it is. I haven't killed anyone, therefore I'm going to heaven. And but let me ask you this. How many of you have killed people in your heart, just not outwardly? How many? Right? Look at it. everyone, and those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're liars and you're guilty of sin. I'm just saying, right? Listen, every one of us within our being have at some point been so frustrated with somebody or disliked someone so much so that we wished harm upon them in some manner. Amen. And this is what we're going to talk about here in just a second. So we're all guilty. All of us are guilty. And by the way, I'll get there. All right. For whoever shall keep the whole, because if I don't stick with my notes, I'm going to mess up my whole sermon. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Go on. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Keep going. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, what's really interesting about this passage in 10 through 13, if you guys remember, in the last 2 weeks, we kind of covered it. It took about 2 weeks to get through it. But Jesus was talking about, or James was talking about partiality. Don't show favor to someone else and condemn another. Don't give the rich the good seat and make the poor move and give them a bad seat. Don't do that. We show everyone equal mercy, equal judgment, equal love, equal right across the board. And so he talks about partiality, and then he goes into murder and adultery. It's like, wow, showing partiality is like the least sin, right? In retrospect, the way you're looking at it, right? Because I can look and show someone favor, but I didn't really hurt anyone else per se. So partiality is like, eh. And let's be honest, I can show someone else partiality without the other person realizing I showed them partiality. Amen? But in my heart, I know what I did. So it's kind of an insignificant sin. And it can be a sin that people don't even really see or notice. But murder? Oh my. You can notice that. Adultery? You can notice that. Like, those are two extremes, because we would never put up with murder, and nobody likes to, adultery or someone have an affair on someone else. Man, that's the worst, those two things. And so why does Jesus start out with the absolute minimal sin, if you will, and then end on the biggest one? Like, why are those the bookends? Like, almost nothing to the maximum extreme. And his whole point is, even if you break the minimal sin, you do the least of sins, if you will. If you're just as guilty as if you murdered or committed adultery. The idea is not the sin per se, but the idea is the fact that we sin and we need to be held accountable for sin. Amen. And some people are like, ah, man, you know, well, I'm not a bad person. And I love to go down this whole thing. And sometimes it's offensive to some, but apparently not too bad, because it hasn't slowed me down. So my question is always this, because they're like, I'm a good person. Really? So let me ask you this. And then I start with my questions. Have you ever lied? Well, everybody in here is a liar, just so you know. Have you ever stole anything? Okay, the majority in here are thieves. Even if you took a piece of candy without asking it for it, you're a thief, right? I mean, it's that simple. But we go, ah, it's just a piece of candy. No, you're a thief. See, we get hung up in the detail of the sin. Like, it's not that bad. No, you're a thief. You stole a piece of candy. They'll never miss it. You stole a piece of candy. It was just a piece of candy. You are a thief. you get what I'm saying? We miss the act because, well, we did it and now we can just justify it. And we miss the idea. Now you're a thief. Now you're a lying thief. And some of you have had activity with somebody else outside of marriage. See, I'm trying to keep this really simple. Most of you will grab that. The rest can get explained to it on the way home. But anyway, we have this happen, right? So now all of a sudden you are guilty of that sin. Either if you did it while you're married, now it's adultery. And if you did it not married, that's fornication. It doesn't matter. That's just what it looks like. And so now all of a sudden, and oh, by the way, I'm just curious. And if you'd be willing to be so honest, I mean, we are in church, is probably the best time to be honest if we're going to be. How many of here you've had alcohol and exceeded a limit? All right, so here's what we've established. It's not going to be good. I'm going to go out to say that 90%+ of us are lying, stealing, fornicating drunks. That's not to celebrate. That is not something to celebrate. My point is, we're guilty. We're all guilty. Every one of us are guilty. And if you just showed partiality, you are just as guilty as if you murdered and were held accountable to the Lord for our sin. And that's what James is talking about. And it's like, because how can you go from one to the extreme? Because it doesn't matter. You break one part of the law, you are just as guilty as if you broke every law. You see what I'm saying? This isn't about how good or bad you are. This is the fact you're guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. 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 That stinks. We're all guilty. See, it's not the sin that matters, guys. It's the fact that we're sinners. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter if it was just a little piece of candy. It could have been a Tic Tac. If you took it without asking, you stole it and you're a thief. The Tic Tac is immaterial. It's what you did that God holds us accountable for. And so stop minimizing your sin, because there's no justification for it. And by the way, if you try to justify your sin, if we go, like someone say, hey, you did such and such. Yeah, but that but just negated your sin. Like you're getting ready to justify your sin. Yeah, well, you know what they did to me? It's immaterial what they did to you. Because God holds us accountable for our actions. That includes our responses to other people. And so don't get lost in trying to justify the action. Understand the action is sin. And that's what we need forgiveness from. And this is what James is talking about. Don't get caught. Don't justify the action. Understand the sin. And now we can fix things. Now we can get right with the Lord. Because when we justify the sin, that means there's no repentance in the heart. That means there's no desire to change. That means that there is no action that's going to get put in place to actually change. Which means we will continue to live in that sin. Because as long as we can justify our sin, then praise Jesus, we can keep doing it. And I'm just telling you, you can't justify sin. I can't justify sin. I don't care what the act is. The act is pretty immaterial. We can't justify it. We have to understand that it is sin. And it doesn't matter if you stole a Tic Tac. And if it doesn't matter if you secretly went up to someone and said, hey, come on up here and sit on the front row. And then we put someone else in the back row that we didn't like as much. But nobody knew the difference. It doesn't matter. It's still sin. And so that's the point that we have to understand about sin. Because so many people just like, well, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. We have to realize sin is sin. No justification for it. And if until we accept it as sin, we'll never change it. Amen. We'll just never change our thought about it. We'll never change our actions toward it. And you know, because people, by the way, people are the worst because we categorize sin. Amen. This is acceptable sin. Or there's actually a book called Respectable Sins. Right? And of course, it's a book that condemns us for what we're thinking and believing, but the book is called Respectable Sins, meaning that, well, this is accepted by society, so therefore that's a respectable sin that we can do and not be condemned by people for it. But have we forgotten we're condemned by God for it? Do you think that because people are going to go, you're a good person, you don't let people tell you did wrong? And then we're like, yeah, that's what I needed. I needed confirmation and affirmation. And I just needed to know somebody's on my side so I could keep doing what I'm doing. And it's like, wait a minute. Who do we want to be judged by, man or God? Well, ultimately, God's going to do the judgment. And so if we understand that, we have a fear, a respect. Fear, right? A reverence fear, not oh, God's going to destroy me. And no. This reverence fear that God is God and God is holy and God is just and God is righteous and God delivered me from this body of death, and therefore I need to honor him because of that. And I love him because I am not going to get judged and sentenced and served what I deserve. And so because of that, God, I love you, and I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do right because I love you. I'm not going to do right because it's rigid and mandatory and demanded. No, I'm going to do right because, God, you love me and you delivered me. And I love you because you love me and you delivered me when I was unlovable and guilty. And so that should set the precedence of why we do right. Because we love the Lord. And if we don't do right on a continual basis, then you don't love the Lord. And I know some of you will go, you can't judge me. I swear if someone tells me that to my face, the next time I'm poking them in the eye. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Jesus said very specifically, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you hear that? This isn't Pastor John telling you or condemning you or pointing a finger at you. This is Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments because you will love me enough and respect me enough that you'll want to honor me. Many of us, we honor our spouse, we honor our parents, we honor our grandparents, we honor a friend because we love them. But we don't honor God because we want to live in sin. You see what's happening? And this is what James is warning us about. And so, and by the way, the book of James, the entire book of James is a poke in the eye. It is literally, look at you, look at you, look at you, look at you. Stand in the mirror, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Have you ever sinned and you couldn't look at yourself in the mirror because of your actions? Anybody? Willing enough? Yeah, right? And God's like, listen, I don't want you to live in that. And that's why I've given you the Holy Spirit to convict you so you don't live in sin. So you're not ashamed to look at yourself, because if you won't even look at you, you won't look at God. You see what I'm saying? And so James here, he is setting this whole thing up and he's saying, listen, you will be judged for your words, your works, and your attitude. Because every one of those stem from the heart. And I've had people get mad at me. God's not going to judge. You don't know your Bible. God's a loving God. He's not going to judge us. You don't know your Bible. God would never judge me. He loves me. You don't know your Bible. And so we have to understand God judges us because he loves us when we are his children. And God judges the world because they're sinful and he is righteous and he has to adhere to his word. And so what does all that look like? All right. That wasn't even in my notes. Now we'll get to the sermon. I just wanted to set the stage, right? So that we really understand because, and by the way, I'm not preaching hate. I'm teaching the word of God. And I'm not slamming anyone because I'm just as guilty as everyone. Amen. Listen, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm as perfect as you are. Okay, maybe better than some. But here's the other thing. I'm worse than others. Amen? Is that where everyone is? You know, especially when we look at it through man's eyes, we're better than some, but we're worse than others. And God's like, no, you're all guilty. See, we got to look at it through God's eyes. His standard, not ours. Because by the way, our standard does this. Okay, for some, it might be this. But either way, your standard is this. I mean, you're like, today you agree with it, tomorrow you don't. Today you don't, tomorrow you do. Like, our standard is just, why? Because we get emotionally involved, and then people get involved in our lives, and then we love these people, and we don't want to see anybody hurt. And so, if we're not careful, we're willing to make an adjustment for that person. But when we make the adjustment for that person, we sin against God in the process. That's why I say we're like this. And we can't be like this. And the closer we walk to God, the tighter we hold his hand, the more we become like this. It's just like whoop-de-doos rather than roller coasters. Right? And so unless we understand God and who he is, we won't make adjustments in our life. And I don't care if it's the tic-tac minute stealing a tic-tac or murdering someone. The sin is not the size of the tic-tac or the size of the body you just eliminated. The sin is you're a thief and you're a murderer. Look at the sin. Don't look at the size. Because that's what God holds us accountable for. All right. Okay, let's get into this. This might be a part two. So, you know, here's the thing, guys. We have to understand, especially as Christians, you know, we might not all agree on the details that are going to unfold in the end times and what tribulation period looks like and what the judgment seat of Christ looks like and what the great white throne of God looks like and what all that it looks like and when it's all going to happen. We may not agree on all the details, but I can assure you of this. We do agree on the certainty of it. It's going to happen, right? And we don't deny the importance of it. And if we look at what Jesus said and what Paul said, he assures us that we're never going to be judged for our sins as far as being condemned because we're going to be forgiven of that. So for Christians, we have this pretty cool promise. Amen. Look here in John 5:24, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears... Okay. When I say we're not going to get judged, we have to understand the contingency of the judgment, right? And why. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, that would be the Father who sent Jesus, has everlasting life. If we're not going to be judged for our sin, and by the way, sin is sin. I don't care if it's the tic-tac or the murder. Sin is sin. What rescues us from that sin? You hear God's word and you believe in Jesus or the Father who sent Jesus. You have everlasting life. We believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That gives us everlasting life. And what does that do? That lifts the condemnation. Isn't that amazing? How many in here, you are guilty of sin, any kind of sin, but you're guilty of sinning. Yeah, every one of us. Every one of us, because the Bible says, he who thinks he is without sin, you deceive yourself and you call God a liar. I had one lady I was witnessing to, and she says, I'm not a sinner. And I went, wow, you just sinned. She goes, how do you figure? I go, because now you're a liar. Look at this. Anyone who believes has everlasting life. Look at this. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's a promise of God. And it doesn't matter what sin. If the Bible, listen to me. If the Bible calls it sin, are you ready? It's sin. That eliminates man. That eliminates our opinion. That eliminates anything that we might think, because God declares it, and therefore it is. Amen? But whoever believes unto Jesus is delivered from that. And you're not going to be judged for it. You're going to be forgiven for it. What sin? Anything the Bible calls sin. Like this, I'm just telling you. I don't care if it's the tic-tac or the murder and anything in between, because we would call the tic-tac insignificant, stealing it, and we would call killing someone the most extreme. Amen? Would everyone pretty much agree with that? It doesn't matter if it's in between those two bookends. Whatever that sin is forgiven if you believe. And then you don't come into judgment. Look what Paul says in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. I don't know about you, but this verse and the last verse excites me a whole lot. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the truth is, and many of you know, I've shared my bits and pieces of my testimony over the years. I didn't always know Jesus. And I was a horrible person. But now that I know Jesus, I'm not condemned for that sin. I've been forgiven. That is a praise Jesus. Because we know how ugly we are, amen? We know how sinful we are. We know how dark our heart can get. And to know that God not only can, but is willing to forgive us, that is huge. There's that contingency in it, though, right? We got to believe. There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus lifts that condemnation, the judgment, the sentencing that we deserve. Jesus lifts that. And go back to the last verse in John that we read. Whoever believes in Jesus, the Father in heaven, the Word of God, the Father who sent the Son, whoever believes has everlasting life. And by the way, the Father and the Son are one. And so if you believe in the Father, but you don't believe in the Son, then you don't believe in the Father. And if you believe in the Son, but you don't believe in the Father, you don't believe in the Son. You're not saved. They're a package deal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God. Three persons. This is when we're talking about the God of the Bible. And so you see, it's the one who believes in him has everlasting life. And therefore, you're not going to get judgment for your sin. Next verse. Go to the next one that we were reading. Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Savior of the world, and he forgives all sin. Any sin, every sin, all sin. Amen? There is now, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how do we know that we're in Christ Jesus? Like, this is crucial. If we're going to believe we're saved, great. But how do we know we're saved? Well, Romans 8:1, Paul tells us, you don't walk like the world walks. You walk according to the scriptures. Do you see the significant difference? If man says it's okay in the Bible, God and God's word, John chapter 1, the word came in flesh, the word is God, was God, was with God, is God, the word of God is God's word. We can't separate any of that. And so if man says, hey, this is good, and the Bible says, no, that's bad, and we cling on to what the world said is good, so we continue in it, then we're walking according to the flesh. But if the world says, this is bad, or this is good, and the Bible says, no, no, that's bad. You like how I slap it? Bad. It's the visual I wanted to give you. At any rate, the Bible says, no, no, that's bad. And you say, oh, okay, now that I know, I'm going to walk according to the word. That's walking in the spirit. That's how we know the difference. And so Jesus says, or Paul says, if you're in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. If you walk according to the world, though, and not according to the Spirit, you're not saved. And you say, you can't judge me. I didn't judge you. I gave you the Word of God. I gave you truth. I gave you understanding of how you can know where you're at. Shame on me if I allow you to live in your sin and tell you it's okay. God loves you just the way you are. And so you go ahead and be a drunk. I don't care. Shame on me. Because Paul made it clear. If you walk with the world, you're of the world. If you walk in the Spirit, you're of God. If the world hates you because you're walking in the Spirit, you definitely know you're of God. And if you walk according to the flesh and the word of God and the people of God disagree with you and say, no, you know you're of the world. You see how this works? This isn't about destroying people and condemning people. It's about understanding that sin sentences us to hell. Doesn't matter if it's the tic-tac or the murder and anything in between. Immaterial. The truth is, it's you're a thief and you're a murderer. That's what God looks at. How do we walk? What do we do? How do we think? What's our attitude toward it? If there's a justification, you're guilty of that sin. And you're unrepentant of that sin. And it very well shows that you're not saved. You can't justify sin. No way, shape, or form can we justify sin at all. Because to say that what the Bible says is sin and we declare it as not sin, there's no way you can be saved. No way. Because John 8:47, pull that up. That's not even in my scripture. Please pull that up. In John 8:47, Jesus declares this. By the way, this is going to be a part two. Because I'm not even into my first point yet. I'm still setting the stage. But I want everybody to understand. Like we have to have clarity, guys. John 8:47 says, he who is of God hears God's words. You hear them, you read them, you see them, you agree with them. That's what hears God's word literally means. You agree with God's words. And then he says, therefore, you do not hear, you do not understand the word of God. You don't comprehend it because you're not of God. And what he's talking about is, I've told you, if we were to go back, we don't, no need to go back in the scriptures. But if we were to go back in John chapter 8, we would see that Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the rich young people or the rich people, you know, those who had no need for God, they were self-righteous. As a matter of fact, they even said, we're of Abraham. We're of God because we are children of Abraham. And Jesus said, if you were of your father Abraham, you'd believe me. But Satan is your father. How's that for being politically correct? If I said that to someone today, they'd come unhinged. You can't judge me. I didn't. Jesus said, Satan is your father. Why? Because you don't believe Jesus. You don't believe he who is of God believes God's words. Let's just do that. Therefore, you do not believe God's word because you're not of God. That's literally what this verse says. And so there's another clue to help you that when someone disagrees with the Bible, disagrees with God, they're not of God. They're not saved. They're not born again. I'm not condemning them. I'm not judging them. I'm pointing out the truth. Why would I do that? So that you could understand your situation, which, by the way, your situation, if you're not a believer, is dire. Because if you die, by the way, you and I are not promised tomorrow. And so how dare me go, well, I'm not going to tell them that, because if I tell them that, then it's going to offend them and they're going to walk away. Well, I'm just going to pray for you now. It's not my goal to offend you or to push you away. It's my goal to say, look, listen, hello, this is what the Word of God says. And if we don't grasp the things of God, we miss it. We miss heaven. And if we miss heaven, we've missed everything. Our life is but a vapor. We're here for a short time and then we vanish away. And if you miss the only way of salvation and the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, if you miss that, you have missed everything, because nothing else matters. What is it if you gain the whole world and lose your only soul? What is it? And so the value of God's word, that is life. And it's for you and I to adhere to, for you and I to surrender to, for you and I to dive in and consume it, because this is life. And if we let it go, if we lose it, if we hang on to our sin and our poor attitude and our sinful ways, and we slap God in the face, you're not a believer. You don't believe the things of God. You don't believe the word of God, and therefore you're going to hell. And that's just the truth of it. And it's not because I say it. It's because the Bible says it. And then it goes on to say this: for God so loved us that he gave a way for us to be with him for eternity. And that's his son, Jesus Christ. That whoever would believe in Jesus would have eternal life and would not be condemned and would not be judged and sentenced to hell. Whoever believes. Doesn't matter if you're the thief that took the Tic Tac or if you're the one who murdered. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And we're guilty of breaking the whole law, according to James chapter 2. And because we break one part of the law, we are just as guilty as if we have broken every part of the law, and we're going to be held to the same account, and that is to be judged by God and sentenced by God and condemned by God. But Jesus. Jesus promises to deliver us. Jesus promises to give us an everlasting home. Jesus promises us that we're not condemned because we've been forgiven. Pull up John 3, 16, 17, and 18, please. This sermon will be for next week. It's part two next week. It's still attached. So you might want to come back next week to actually hear my notes. John 3, 16 through 18 says this. Now listen. We got to grasp this, okay? We got to grab hold of this and hold on to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him, whoever, whomever, anyone, everyone, the person, who is what person, any person that's ever drawn a breath and has the ability to think, that person, whoever, that's the whoever, believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's everlasting life? Forever life. No end to it. With God. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. See? That's where we miss it. We think, God's a big God. He's going to condemn me, beat me up, blah, 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 whatever. But no, no, no. God understood that because we're sinful creatures with selfish desires, that we will do brutish things, that we needed a savior. We needed a way out, because you don't have enough money. You're not good looking enough. You're not fit enough. You're not, you put it in. You don't, you and I, we do not have the ability in any way, shape, fashion, or form to save ourselves. None. When you're guilty, you're guilty. If you break the law, you're dependent upon the judge to extend grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Amen? Every one of us have broken the law. Whether it was stealing the little Tic Tac or murdering someone, we've all broken the law, whatever's in between that. God didn't send, the Father didn't send Jesus in to condemn the world for our sin. Praise God for that. But I love the but in the Bible, amen, because there's always this sweet transition. And then sometimes there's just a transition that says you need to understand more. This is a sweet transition. But that the world, the people, those who have taken a breath of air through Jesus might be saved. That's why Jesus came. Talk about love. Now we like this part. We like this part, for God loved us. And we hinge everything on his love, and we forget about our sin. And I'm here to tell you, his love is extended to us because of our sin. And we need him. And for without him, we're condemned. 17. Go back to 17. 18. Thank you. You're on it. I'm not. He who believes, the person, the human being, male or female, doesn't matter. The person who believes in Jesus, the Son, is not condemned. Golly, man. Do you get the value in that? You give your life to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're the thief of the Tic Tac or the murderer of thousands. It doesn't matter if you're the murderer of thousands or that little little thief, we would call it. It doesn't matter where you exist on the spectrum. If you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. But the person who does not believe in Jesus is condemned already. Not because God condemns him, but because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, God's like, every one of you are sentenced. You were born in Satan's family. Satan is your father. You're all, every one of you, everyone that has drawn a breath is condemned to hell. Not because God condemned us there, but because that's the way it is. We are born into sin and we sin. And your little baby, that little child that you love and adore so much, the minute they can speak, they're a liar. Did you take that? No. Did you touch that? No. Did you poo-poo? No. Meanwhile, the room is atrocious and you need a gas mask to deal with it. No. Do you got to go potty? No. Okay. What did you do? I just asked you, right? You guys know what I'm saying? We're born liars. We are born liars. Therefore, we're sinners. We're condemned already because we sin. By the way, who taught that little two-year-old how to lie? It's self-preservation. It is that sin nature that is within us that we will exercise every time we think we're going to get in trouble or every time we think it's advantageous to satisfy our flesh, we will lie. At two, hopefully as you get older, you've learned. But we're condemned because of that alone. That alone condemns us. That, and we're like, that's so insignificant. No, it's sin. See, we don't look at the significance of the sin. We got to look at it that it is sin. And sin is what condemns us. Forget the act. Understand that if the Bible says it is sin, and that condemns us. We're condemned already. Why? Because we haven't given our life to Jesus Christ. He's our life preserver. And this is what James is talking about. I'm not off track, guys, just so you know. This is what James is talking about. Whether you show partiality, and they don't even know it, but in your heart, God knows what you did. Or you murder or commit adultery. It's the same. It's the same. We're guilty. We're guilty. And that's the whole point of James. The whole point of this passage, which I'll preach on next week. And so we're not condemned, but our works are. Romans 14, 10 through, Romans 14, 10 through 13. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand. Are you so arrogant to think that God is going to show you special favor and give you a free pass? We are guilty and we will stand in judgment. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord. It is written. God says, I got to hold on to my word because I can't be a liar because I'm not a liar. For it is written, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, as a Christian, we don't get sentenced to hell, but we're still judged because we have to give an account to God for what we have done and what we have said. We have to give an account to God for our attitude. This was actually the sermon for next week. It was supposed to have been today, but I didn't make it there. We're going to give account to ourselves to God. Therefore, because we're going to give an account, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Quit tripping each other up. Quit attacking one another. Quit gossiping. Quit accusation. Quit blah, blah, blah. Stop this because we're all guilty. So let's come together and help one another be successful. That's what he's saying. And then look here in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen, this is how we know it's directed toward the Christian, because the Christian goes to the judgment seat of Christ. The world goes to the great white throne judgment. So the fact that he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, this is the Christian. And another way you know he's talking to the brethren or the Christian in this verse alone is we. We. He's inclusive in this. Well, if anybody's saved, I promise you, Paul's saved. Amen. But he says, we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Do you see? Even as Christians, God will hold us accountable for our actions. And some of you are sorry Christians. Not in here. I'm saying that to the camera for those listening outside. Some of it because we don't adjust ourselves to the Word of God. We adjust ourselves to our flesh, our desires. And it shouldn't be that way. Next verse. Oh, get out of that. That's for next week. We have to understand, God doesn't forget any sin, any unrepentant sin. Unrepentant sin, he cast away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. How amazing is that? And you know who that is for? Anyone who asks. Everyone who asks, for whosoever. And so if you're sitting here today, you're in one of two places. You're one of two. I guarantee you, every one of us are in one of two places. One, you're not a believer, and you're condemned to hell. You're not a believer. You're self-righteous. You do the works of the world. You don't agree with this 100%. Every word, every jot, tittle, meaning every comma, dot, period, whatever it is. And so you're not saved. You're condemned. Not because I said so, but the Bible says so. Or two, you are a Christian, but you're ugly. Man, you are a Christian, but you have forsaken obedience. And you have taken a liberty that's not yours to take, according to James, the law of liberty. You've abused that. And so you think that being a Christian now, you're going to heaven, that you have a license to sin. The problem is, if you've lived that way your whole life, you're not a Christian. You're condemned to hell. And you're like, Pastor, why do you keep saying hell? It's the most accurate word I have. I could say you're condemned to that little warm place that's down below. You know, we don't want it. No, you're condemned to hell. A place without God where it says the fire burns forever. And the body is like the worm, writhing in pain. It's the absence of God. Hell is the absence of God. If you don't know Jesus, you need to fix it. And if you know Jesus and you don't live like it, you need to fix it. And if you know Jesus, and at this point in time in your life, you're living like you know Jesus, then you better pray you can hold on to that. And if you mess up, repent. Stop living in sin. Just stop it. If you don't stop it, you're not repentant. You see how all this works? And if you don't stop it, then do you really love Jesus? The answer is going to be no. Because you love yourself more than you love him, because you're satisfying you more than you are him. And that's how we know. And we'll be judged for it. And so you have to ask yourself, can you live with the judgment of God, who is holy and righteous and just, who has warned us? Are you willing to take your chances? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word, Father. Father, thank you that you love us so much that your word isn't to condemn us, but it's to draw us to you. It's to draw us away from ourselves, to save us, to give us less headache and less problems and less heartache through the whole thing that we go through. Father, you love us that much that you challenge us to our core. And Father, I pray right now that each and every one of us, that we repent of our sin. And Father, if those Christians are here and they truly have surrendered their life to Jesus and he is their Savior, but they live like the devil, Father, may they be so convicted that they surrender that and live unto you. Because Father, the truth is, we know better. And therefore, we'll be held accountable for that knowledge. And Father, if there's anyone here who is not saved, not born again. They don't know Jesus as their Savior, and they live like that. They live like the world. They do the things of the world and then justify it. Father, help them to see the truth that it doesn't matter if it's taking a Tic Tac that is not theirs or murdering thousands, Father. Help each and everyone to see it's the sin that we're held accountable to. It's the sin that condemns us. It's the stealing and the murdering and everything in between. That's what convicts us. That's what condemns us. Father, help us to see that and help each and every person here to see that. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, Father, I pray right now that you would put so much pressure on them, Father, that to help them see their sin, Lord, that it's such a heavy, heavy load that they can hardly breathe. Father, that it would draw them to you and they would repent and give their life to you, Father, because only you can do that. So, Father, I ask that you do an amazing work there. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can change that today. I showed you in the scriptures where the Bible says, for whosoever believes, you have to just surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You have to believe unto him. What does that look like? The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is made. For with the heart man believes, not your head knowledge. But your heart, like in your heart, your burden's so heavy right now that you know this is the truth and you're ready to surrender to that truth. Not in your head for fear, but in your heart because you can't explain it, but you're drawn right now. Surrender to that. You say, well, how do I do that? For with your heart, you believe. Just surrender. Okay, Lord, you are God. I am not. And I believe unto you, Jesus, that you are the Savior of the world. If that's your belief, your desire, then quietly pray this prayer with me to yourself. It's between you and God. Understand that this prayer is not magical. The words aren't magical. The words are not what save you. Your heart belief is what saves you. The words, I'm just giving you a timestamp where you can say, this day with all of my heart, I ask Jesus to forgive me and save my soul. That's all the prayer is. And if that's your desire, then you pray quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I believe, Jesus, with all of my heart that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And without you, I cannot get to heaven. I understand that my sin is what condemns me. My sin is what convicts me. And today, I want to repent of that sin. Today, I ask that you forgive me of all the sin and wrong and shame that I've ever done. Today, with all of my heart, I freely give myself to you. If that's you and you prayed that prayer quietly and to yourself with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you today with all of your heart gave your life to Jesus Christ this morning, I want to rejoice with you.